Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 363. My name is John Morgan. Cole Coffee is with me here in Las Vegas.
Las Vegas.
That's the worst thing.
Literally the worst thing when you land. They think they're so clever. They're like, welcome to Las Vegas. And you're just
say in that exact voice, exactly.
And you're like, that was maybe funny the first 5 out of the 50,000 times we've heard it. But whatever. Who am I to rain on their Las Vegas parade? Have fun. Come lose your money. Come lose your money.
Las Vegas. It is the worst. It is funny, man, like flying into Las Vegas. And I always have to catch myself because, you know, we're flying home. So normally it's like early on a Sunday morning. We've had like very little sleep, if any sleep at all. We're exhausted from the night before. We're just trying to get a little bit of rest. And, you know, all these people are trying to get their party started, get their big weekend in Vegas, their trip that they've been waiting on. And they're, you know, they're hooting and hollering on the plane. I'm just trying to get a little sleep. And that's when I have to catch myself from turning into a grumpy old man and being like, can you please quiet down so I can get some sleep on the plane? I have to respect the fact that they're coming to party a little bit. So, you know, it's the one time in life I feel like the grumpy old man. All right, listen, if you've never listened to the MMA Roadshow, let me tell you what it's all about. This is the show where we take rival journalists from opposing websites and bring them together, the enemies over at MMA Junkie working with the underground. We take these rival organizations. It's what we've been based on for the last 5 years or so, or 6 years. What are we, 7 years now at this point? Holy cow. It's you know, it's really the genesis, the whole concept of the show is just to take these employees from opposing rival organizations and sit them down together to talk about a little bit of mixed martial arts. Isn't that right, Cold Coffee?
That's how we do it. That's how we do it. It's funny because you're talking about rival organizations and sharing and collaborations with other ones. Here I'm getting a text message from another organization saying, hey, you guys wrote a story about something and you said the initial report came from ESPN, but hey, we wrote about it yesterday. If possible, would you mind to ask somebody to add our credit there? You ever get those emails? I'm sure you used to get that shit all the time. Like,
of course.
What, now you're gone? Now I'm going to get those weird-ass messages?
Giving it to the videographer.
No, sir. I'm about to just take it and paste it into our Slack channel and let somebody else do it. That's outside of my pay grade.
That's not exactly. I don't know. To be honest with you, it is kind of funny.
It is, you know, but it's funny because, you know, like you said, you know, all of us are work so closely together. Now it feels so weird to even consider you like not in this organization. It's still kind of weird. But like we all know each other so well. We see each other week after week that I even tell some people like they're like, you know, hey, if we run into an issue with this, you know, who, you know, tell me how the chain of command is to reach out. And I'm always sometimes just like, bro, just tell me. If it's like a video like claim thing, I'm like, it's going to come to me anyways. Just tell me and I'll fix it. But right. I think a lot of times with something like this, it's like we all know each other. So it's like rather than go the normal route to say, hey, you guys didn't credit us on this. They're like, hey, let's go bug that guy I know. But I'm like, I'm the peon videographer. I don't do shit. I don't write shit. I don't make sure people are credited this or that. You know, send it to me is a 50-50 shot that anything absolutely is going to happen with it. Well, but since listen, I like this person, I'm gonna at least post it to our Slack channel and let those guys do it. But
well, I feel for this person. I don't even know who they are reaching out to, but I've always said there's nothing but shady characters over there at that MMA Junkie. They're not giving credit where credit is due. They're citing the wrong people. I mean,
that's why you left, right? You were like, I'm tired of this improper citing that is taking place.
Shoddy work
over
there.
I can't be associated with them anymore.
That organization, I've never been a fan of that organization, if I'm being honest with you, man. It's just shoddy work from day one, man.
Yeah,
it's,
man. It's you're like, it just took you that many years to figure that out before you finally left, huh?
Amazing they're still in business over there. Now, you know, listen, you said it, you know, getting used to it's crazy. I will say, man, When we got to the arena, T-Mobile Arena on Saturday afternoon for this past weekend's UFC event, picking up my credential, and it hadn't even crossed my mind, but picking up my credential and it gets handed to me and it says John Morgan, the Underground on there. I will say it was a little bit jarring, man. Yeah. It was just like, this is the realization, man. You know, like, even though obviously it's all I've been dealing with for the past couple weeks and getting set up in this and moving that, just to see that little reality on the,
well,
on the credential, man.
Well, I'll throw you under bizarre. I'll throw you under the bus on another thing that you did. You showed up late. But what did John Morgan do? John Morgan walked right the fuck up to where I was and where everybody else was and just politely, did that whole, hey, let's start a conversation. I know I'm skipping 10 people in line, but hey, let's just do that. And I was like, I see what you're doing. I was like, I wasn't going to bust your chops, but I was just like, I almost did, but I was going to be like, yo, line's back there.
That's some quality ball busting right there, because that is like my least favorite move. Like when we've been there for an hour and somebody rolls in and skips like 30 people, I was just like, but to be fair, let's make it clear. I'm still that guy that's going to get there first and that's going to leave last. It was just chilly on Saturday. It was a little cold outside, man. I just didn't want to stand outside that long in the cold. So lest anyone think that because I have moved over to the Underground, I will not still be that guy on the grind, first one in, last to leave. That is not the case, unless it's chilly outside.
Unless it's cold. That's funny.
It was a little cold. Yeah, it was a bit weird. I'll tell you what was weird is not really knowing – what I was going to do on fight night, like exactly how I was going to cover everything. And because we're still kind of figuring out, you know, what are the existing folks doing? What's Sports Illustrated doing? You know, all those things. So
They're sharing my videos, you know.
Heck yeah. I just noticed we got MMA Junkie videos on Sports Illustrated. This is great. I mean, I feel like I'm still part of the team. We're playing Cold Coffee's videos right on our website.
I dig it. Hey, does that mean can I put I'm a Sports Illustrated contributor?
Absolutely. I got no problem with it. It's not really my place to say, but I see your work right there on Sports Illustrated.
You can't deny it. It's right there.
I was sitting right next to you watching you film this today, and I see it right there. You know what? It just means to me, I don't have to bring my camera anymore. I just like, bro, I'm still using Cold Coffee stuff.
That's a trade-off. You do like what you did today. You ask all the questions, and I'll film it, and then you guys just use it.
That's hilarious. It is funny because, I'm not going to be petty. There was part of me that I was like, if I wanted to be petty, just like wait for the first social media clip that goes up that has my questions in it and be like, you know, shout out to my old crew over there for still using my material, you know, still featuring my work. Thanks, guy.
I like it.
But I'm not that guy. I'm not that guy, so I certainly wouldn't do that.
Not yet. It's coming.
No, man. It's been a busy week, man, getting all settled in, but it's been fun, man. So it reminds me a lot, you know, this week, it reminds me a lot of the early days with Junkie, you know, when it was just myself and Dan and, you know, trying to carve out a way and man, change the mindset, you know what I mean? Just realizing, like, I can't match the output that the entire team of MMA Junkie will have, so we have to do things a little bit different, and that's what we're gonna do, man. It's gonna be a process, but we got some fun things working behind the scenes, and I think you're gonna see some growth over at the Underground and some assistance with sportsillustrated.com/MMA, si.com/MMA as well. If you want to add that into your daily viewing routine, of course, hit up the Underground. It's undergone some changes already.
So is that what you call it, or do you call it the UG for short? Like, what do you usually find yourself calling it when you tell people?
You know, say the Underground. I say the Underground unless I know it's like a hardcore old schooler that I know for a fact. If I say the UG, they'll know exactly what I'm saying. Yeah. You know, and if you've been around the game, you know what the UG is. If you haven't been around, you know, and if it's somebody real casual, I might even say it's the Underground at mixedmartialarts.com, right? Because we're mixedmartialarts.com.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. That was what was kind of weird, is that I saw that your website's still mixedmartialarts.com. So it's weird because you're branding it all one thing, like saying the Underground, but the site is not, doesn't have that same branding, which is kind of interesting. So, I mean, it's almost like, like what you said, like you almost have to sort of train them by saying like, it's the Underground at mixedmartialarts.com or something, to train people. Because if people try to go to the Underground, I don't know I've never actually tried to pull it up. I don't know what it takes you to.
I don't know if you'd like to. I don't know if you'd want to pull that
website up. It's probably something pretty seedy.
It
sounds like it would be something seedy as hell, you know. Kind of like what, you know, the, what was it? Whitehouse.gov gives you one thing, but like whitehouse.com .com gets you like a porn site or something like
that. Really?
I don't know. I thought it's something silly like that.
It's funny because so to peel back the curtains a little bit and not to go too far into company business or whatever, that was one of the initial discussions I had as well. I was like, all right, guys, we're settling in here. I'm like, what are we, by the way? Are we the underground or are we mixedmartialarts.com? Is it like just the forum is the underground? And it was hilarious because they kind of got a kick out of it and they were like, welcome to the conversation of the last 20 years. Like, we've been having this conversation forever. So what we decided to do was, let's go with the underground. That's going to be the you know, the name that we'll focus on. Obviously, the URL is mixedmartialarts.com, a solid URL.
That's a solid URL. I mean,
it's a solid URL. But it doesn't really flow off, you know, it's not mixed martial. Now, if it was MMA.com, that would be easy. But that belongs to, I believe, like the Michigan Marketing Association or something like that. So
credit those dudes. They're pretty hardcore, man. I've seen them bust some dudes up. Pallets, yeah, goods.
Marketing Management Analytics is MMA.com. Marketing Management Analytics. You better be doing good work over there. Otherwise, you're just stealing our domain as far as I'm concerned.
I wonder if they have the breakdown of how many times people tell them to F off because it's not really an MMA site. They're like, well, the analytics show that our analytics break down to be this, this, this.
I would like you to analyze my middle finger right now. How about
these
that?
Analyze these nuts, bitch.
So we've been switching over. It's interesting. Man, it was jumping into a first week at a new job on a pay-per-view fight week was probably not the best planning on my point of view. I mean, I sat down and had no idea how to create content for the site, and it was a busy one. But you know, nevertheless, we made it through. And
it was weird all around. It was weird all around. I know it was weird for me. It was different for me. I felt like it was a lot more, just the difference of not having like somebody else there, but even just the added like, so since you weren't there to do photos, so then I in turn had to do all those photos. And then I felt like they asked for more photos than normal. And I was like, don't get mad. Don't get mad. This is just the new norm. Because I even told them, don't send somebody else out here if they're just going to fucking shit around. I was like, I got it. And then I was like, God damn it. This is some extra bullshit I got to do. And I think part of it, too, is just because now with throwing back in T-Mobile, the transit, you know, we're doing the morning weigh-ins and then it's okay doing some extra stuff, then hop back in the car and go drive over there and then, you know, all this other stuff. So just like being the first week not having you on board and then adding some external stuff, but then adding travel and moving around back in, I was like, man, this week sucked. It was like, it definitely felt more tiring. I was burnt out. Like Friday was really burnt out, especially, I don't know why I decided to do the Halle Berry thing, thinking it was going to be one thing, and then that was just like a glorified waste of time.
Oh, yeah, you guys got to go see. Yeah, so I couldn't do that. I was in the call over at Tough Enough, but Halle Berry, Dana White, Laura Sanko, they did like a Q&A. You guys got to see a preview. No, you got to see – did you see the whole – documentary?
Yeah, it was the whole documentary of her behind the making of – like the making of Bruised, like a behind-the-scenes sort of thing.
Right.
You know, she's battling the ups and downs of what it was taking to do it, you know, and then got up there, but we thought it was going to be like a full-on Q&A, and it was pretty much like Lore asking questions to her and Dana, and then there were pretty much two journalists got to ask questions afterwards before they just said, okay, that's it. And we're like, why are we here? Why did we come? You know?
Yeah, it's weird. Like, they didn't need you there. Like, why invite the media if they don't really need you? You could just watch it on Fight Pass.
We were seat fillers. We were seat fillers is what it was. We became seat fillers.
Didn't they get open bar and amazing
sort
food?
Sort of. Like, the food was kind of whack. It was like this small little artsy-fartsy thing, like a crab cake, and it was like the shape of a little meatball, and it was like super, super tiny. And then they had this really small artsy-fartsy wedge salad that was about the size of a cigar or something. It was like somebody's art project, you know, but like for like their culinary senior project, you know, they're like, let me come up with all these like small little weird dishes. And then it was like, they wouldn't serve alcohol before the screening. You had to wait till a certain time. So like we all
hell
got there.
No.
Doors were at 6, but they're like, no, you can't get any alcohol to 7. And I was like, why are we here? And then it was by the end of it, we were just tired and, you know.
It's a long day.
It was a long day, especially because we walked in we were leaving that building like 13 hours later after we walked in earlier that morning, and it was like, man, we're still going. So yeah, that was a, you know, I was glad that we were back at T-Mobile or whatever, and I was glad it was fight week, but it just, that was a tiring fight week. And I know part of it was because of the lack of you being part of the team. It was like more extra little stuff, but
see, but yeah. I did do some stuff. You thought I didn't do stuff.
A couple things.
Yeah, no, listen, I did Tough Enough. That was great. So if you don't know the Tough Enough organization, man, it's a brand that's been around for more than 20 years, and they did amateur shows for the longest time here in Las Vegas. You know, Ronda Rousey came through, Ryan Couture, Alan Jopin, you know, a lot of fighters came through. But they finally returned. They had a show scheduled, I want to say the week of the shutdown or the week after the shutdown, back in March of 2020, and then COVID hit, and you know they had to cancel that, obviously, because everything got canceled, and then they hadn't been able to host a show in the last 2 years, man. So it was their first show back, and it was on UFC Fight Pass as well, which was cool. So it was their first show on UFC Fight Pass. It was like a return, and it was historic as well. I was working with my boys Dave and Mahoney, the morning radio DJs here that I've worked with for a long time. So I didn't get to go to the VIP thing, but it sounds like that worked out okay. Instead, I did the commentary. And then that kind of made for a longer week as well for myself, but it was fun. And I will say this, I am glad to put a Colby Covington fight week behind me at this point. The fallout still continues to assault on social media. You know, the 10 push-ups comment. I'm just going to be honest, man. As soon as somebody says 10 push-ups, I'm like, block. I'm like, I don't need it, you know?
Yeah. But what a crazy shit show that was.
It was crazy.
And yet you still want to say like how, oh, he's a nice person, and like still defend him. And I'm just like, dude, just fucking.
Well, I will
toss him aside.
I sent him a text today. I have not heard back from him yet. Just asking if he had time for a phone call. And we'll see. Maybe we'll try to work it out behind the scenes. Maybe we won't. If not, I guess it'll just be awkward fight weeks every time Colby Covington fights, because I guess that's the way it's going to be. But hopefully we can work it out. We'll see.
It'd just be awkward. I was like, it wouldn't be the worst thing if you never did. It's not like you're going to lose any sleep because you don't have the friendship of Colby Covington.
Yeah, know. And you know what's funny is that it's not even, I mean, you know me, man. It's not even about a friendship or whatever, but it just feels weird. It feels like there's a misunderstanding or something, because I never said what he thinks I said. I don't ever remember saying that he's not deserving of a title shot, so it's kind of bizarre that that's what he's picked up. Because I'll tell you what has bothered me is that I have had a couple people reach out and be like, journalists need to stand behind what they write. You guys think you can just write and say whatever and not stand behind it? And I'm like, brother, I completely agree with you. If we say something, if we write something, we got to stand behind it. We can't just be out there empty saying whatever we want to say and not, you know, meaning it and not being willing to defend it and that sort of thing. But when it's something you didn't say or didn't write, that's a little bit more frustrating. You know what I mean? It's because I can't defend something if I didn't actually say it. You know what I mean? So I think that's the most frustrating part of
it. He just didn't want to say anything, because then you could have been like, oh, fake news. You're so fake news. That's not true. And he didn't want to give you that luxury to say that, because then he would have realized he doesn't actually fact check. He just gets told something and then he had a tantrum about it.
I tell you what I feel kind of bad about too. You know, he at the post fight, of course, he went off on Kevin Ioli as well. And not that, you know, Kevin can't stand up for himself. Obviously he can. But the frustrating thing is, I'm 99% sure that what he was upset about was the headline that was written on Kevin Ioli's column about Jorge Masvidal, because what he was writing about was, you know, Masvidal came in and did that awesome, you know, pre-fight scrum where he just keeps it real the way he does, you know what I mean? And Kevin Ioli was writing a column just kind of praising Jorge Masvidal for, you know, just being the guy that he is and being real all these years. And I guess the headline said, you know, Jorge Masvidal is real as it gets, unlike Colby Covington, which the thing that people might not realize is that in most situations, the writer does not write the headline. That's usually an editor that writes the headline, and that was the case here. So Kevin Ioli got ripped by Colby Covington at the post-fight press conference for something he didn't even write. Now,
I'm in that same boat. Like, I assume most writers write their headline, because I see our writers write their headline, you know, most times. So I would have probably assumed it, whereas, like, I like to bring, you know, my situation, like my videos are tagged into something else. I don't write those headlines. And now even on YouTube, I might put a headline. Somebody goes back in and changes it to whatever clicky shit that they think it should be. So, like, I'm not even guilty of writing those ones. But I think I'm probably was in the same boat where I would expect somebody like of Kevin's tenure that I would be like, he's obviously going to be writing his own headlines. Yeah. You know, so I could see where somebody maybe thought, I wouldn't think it crazy to think that he was the one that wrote his headline.
No,
you know,
I think
there's
more. In that situation, and that's what I was gonna say. In that situation, I think it's more understandable that Colby would be upset because it's like, who knows that he didn't write the headline. I just feel bad for Kevin, right? Because it's a headline that he didn't write. But you're right, his name is attached to it. You know what's funny is I never thought about that. Have you ever gotten not in trouble, but have somebody ever mentioned something to you that you think it was because we put your name, well, I say we, I don't work there anymore, but when I worked at MMA Junkie, you know, I mean, a long, long time ago, back when I was still at MMA Junkie, you know, forever ago, we would put your byline on stories if the video was you, and basically it's just to give you credit for like, hey, you know, you worked, you shot this, you produced this, your name should be on as well. You know what? It never occurred to me until just now that maybe that might have been a bad thing for you because somebody would write a headline and you're like, I don't want my name associated with that headline.
Yeah, but usually on most of those, the ones that I've actually seen, it's always been like just a video of, you know, it's usually just generic glossing over of something. So it's never been something like, if it's something that's going to be worthwhile of a juicy text or a juicy headline, they're going to write a column. They're going to write a story with it or something. So I don't think they've ever really put it. I mean, if somebody ever did and it was just like a point to video and I saw that somebody wrote, you know, watch this video and inside of it, Colby's an asshole. Then I'd be like, okay, now you're a fucker for writing that headline, you know. But I would think nobody would ever do anything really. If it's a point to video, I think they would keep it pretty clean. But I mean, we've had this argument even sometimes about like YouTube. People, you know, we'll put stuff on there that sometimes gets it demonetized, other shit, you know, just for the glorification of even putting like fuck or shit or asshole, even though they don't even write it out, you know, where, you know, they might say like, you know, just say whatever fighter says, that guy's a real asshole, I can't wait to beat him up. Yes, that's true. He did actually say it, but you know, like you could get part of that. You might get limited ads where you could still just say, you know, man, you know, I can't wait to beat that guy up. It's ultimately saying the exact same thing, but not risking the fact of being demonetized or whatever. But some people, they need to think, they think that these video titles have to be like these glorified fucking smut campaigns or clicky, you know, ish shits or whatever.
Smut campaigns.
I don't know. I just had to throw that out there.
I love it.
Smut.
Oh, man. All right. Well, listen,
I love
busy,
smuts.
Busy.
They're my favorite.
Busy, busy week in the world of MMA. This is crazy, man. So right now, as we're sitting down to tape this on a Wednesday evening, as we have done as of late, Invicta FC 46 is streaming live.
Yes, it
on
is.
It's streaming live on Invicta's YouTube channel. I'm pretty sure that's the only place you can catch it. Invicta's
No, that's not quite true.
I'm pretty sure. Don't even go into it. I'm pretty sure I have spoken. I believe it's only on the Invicta. Okay, maybe it's on MMA Junkie as well.
I mean, by the time that anybody hears this, it's going to be long done and over. But
exactly.
The archive will be on MMA Junkie where people are watching this as well.
So you can catch a replay of that the second time Invicta has broadcast through the MMA Junkie YouTube channel, which is pretty cool. Happy to see that partnership still going for you guys over there. But outside of that, check this out this weekend. One Championship Friday morning, Brave CF 57 in the afternoon, Eagle FC 46 at night, PFL Challenger Series at night, LFA 126 at night. Then you kick it over to Saturday, UFC Fight Night 203, which, of course, we are covering right here in Las Vegas, and Bellator 276 also going head-to-head on Saturday. Let me just say, holy shit. I love MMA, and I wish I could catch everything. I can't. I am not the oversaturation arguer. For me, the more opportunities, the better. These are people getting paychecks and the sport growing. But damn, it's going to be hard to catch all of that, man. There's a lot of MMA to watch this weekend.
Yeah, that's a lot. All right, so you told me, and I want to, have you still been watching the PFL Challengers?
I have.
You told me that if I pulled up that Fubo Sports Network, I would be able to see it. And I pulled it up last time, and it was showing an old Invicta fight. even though the guide was telling me that it was supposed to, or not Invicta, but like World Series. So I was like, what's going on? I was like, I thought I could watch it on the Fubo Sports Network, but it wasn't showing it, even though the guide channel told me that it was PFL Challengers. So I don't know what's up with that. I didn't remember hearing anybody else complain about it. So I was like, okay, maybe I do have to go behind the paywall to get this.
I don't know. I'll have to check on that. I do have an account set up only because I bought a new TV and it had that account with it. So I registered one just to do it. So I am logging in. So that may be why I will be able to catch it. You know what? I'll check this week. I'll log out and check and see if there's a problem. By the way, they have done we haven't talked about it because there has been a lot going on, obviously. They have done a good job of speeding up the pacing. I'll say that. You know, that complaint from the first week, it's clear that they took that to heart. Yeah. And it's a sped up process. I still think there's some, you know, I think the person at home that's joining in via Skype, that kind of makes some complicated little lags and delays and that sort of thing.
It's still the same guy, right? Still,
no, they switch it up every week.
Oh,
yeah. Jarvis Landry last week.
Oh, so that's cool. I thought you just didn't want to say Piven's name. I just assumed he was there every week. I was like,
No. I like Piven.
I was like, damn, did you not like him? You don't want to say his name? No. You're like, the guy that's checking in on Skype. I can't stand that dude.
No, I mean, whatever position that person is. I like Piven a lot. I've always enjoyed his Ari Gold role is obviously always probably the most famous, but
yeah,
I think he's done some good work over the years. So but it's good. But hey, speaking of PFL, we're talking about the Challenger Series. How about the fact that they're going to pay per view at some point this year, man? Crazy to see that and what it might entail. Kayla Harrison back in the mix.
They need to recoup some of that money. I bet they came out of pocket quite a bit for her.
They are paying Kayla Harrison. The numbers that I've heard thrown around behind the scenes, man, she is getting paid. The numbers that I've heard that she's getting paid, the $1 million season bonus that she'll get will just be like some extra cash for her. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that bad? The fact that she was waiting around so long, I just assumed that she had to have come down on her offer because nobody was biting.
No. She was in demand. Her Bellator had a nice, very lucrative offer. PFL Magic. I'm actually going to speak to Kayla tomorrow. I don't expect her to lay out exactly what it is, but from what I understand, she's incredibly happy with the amount of money that's being thrown her way, and she'll be doing just fine whether she wins the season or not. So good on her, man. I'm a Kayla Harrison fan. I think she's unbelievable. I'd love to see her fight Cyber. So I talked to Peter Murray, who's the CEO for the PFL. I actually put that piece up on SI.com today. So that was for Sports Illustrated. Like I said, I'm doing about 3 pieces a week for them, and then the rest of the stuff will be at the Underground. But I put that up over there. You can read it on the Underground as well. But he talked about, the importance of getting her back, you know, and what it means to get Kayla back. And he talked about the fact that, you know, now they're going to go after other free agents. And then he talked about the fact that the pay-per-view, basically, he wouldn't say cross-promotion. But he was hinting at it all around it. It was like, you know, we're going to challenge these champions from other organizations. And, obviously the UFC is never going to take part in that. The UFC is never going to cross-promote. They don't need to, and they never will, and I don't blame them. But, you know, could the PFL and Bellator come together to put on a Kayla Harrison-Chris Cyborg fight? I mean, if it's a pay-per-view and they can all share in the revenue a little bit, why not?
Why wouldn't they?
I'd love to see it. I'd love to see it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great fight, and if that's the way it's going to happen, I mean, I love that the fact they're still jawing around with each other, and we've seen Scott Coker be open to that, so, I mean, I don't see why it wouldn't happen, you know? I mean, I think it's just a matter of numbers, you know?
Yeah,
are they both going to get whatever the share is? I mean, if they could, you know, if they were willing to go 50-50, I think a lot of people would jump out and start doing it, you know? I don't know if they'd be willing to do that much, you know, especially if it's just maybe one or two fights. I would think if they took turns and maybe, you know, shared the card and you know, maybe did one, you know, Bellator followed by a PFL, Bellator, PFL, Bellator, PFL, then the final headliner being, you know, Kayla and Cyborg going, then I could see where maybe it makes sense to do 50-50 or something. But Bellator for sure, and we've seen one be willing to do that as well, you know, when they went and did some stuff with Bellator. So, I mean, that's cool. I mean, I don't see why they wouldn't try to do something. I mean, shoot, I don't understand why Invicta doesn't try to reach out and say, hey, can we do something? You know, you need some ladies to kind of start the night. I mean, they're doing cards here, but, you know, I think this fight card's, what, 6 fights?
Six fights, yeah.
Six fights, something like that.
It might only be five, because didn't it lose one? It might only be five. They lost one at the weigh-ins.
So, I mean, you know, that's a perfect filler instead of, you know, especially on something like even Bellator, you know, they try to pad their card with the local guys to sell numbers. And it's like, how about bring, you know, Invicta over there and do something with them and let them, you know, share the load of bringing people or something. But yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting when, you know, organizations do it. I mean, the more awareness and the, you know, building each other up. I mean, we realize that if, for us to be able to have our job, we need all these organizations to survive. Yes, we need them all absolutely. To thrive. So I know us as being fans of it, I'm all for it. So if the numbers can make it work out and you know, the each company gets what they need to do to be able to take care of their fighters, but then also, you know, maybe get introduced or reintroduced to a different fan base that isn't watching their stuff. I mean, I would love to see it. But you're right. I mean, Dana's always said, I mean, they don't need anybody, you know,
right.
As unfortunate or fortunate for them. They bring enough eyeballs on their own. They don't need to be sharing the purse with anybody. You got the fighters like saying, hey, can we get a little bit more of that purse? You know, they're not going to be happy if another promoter is getting it.
Yeah, they're like, sorry, man, we would pay you more, but we got to give Bellator some cash over here. Yeah, man. You know, we're working with them. So.
And then watch
sorry.
Bellator pay their fighters a bigger share of what they're getting. Then that'd just be like an extra just kick in the rear.
That's funny. Yeah, we need all the organizations to survive. So
yeah,
we'll see though. I would love to see the co-promo. We'll see what happens. But you know, if they're gonna try to go to pay-per-view, I was told, you know, before the year's up, sometime before the end of the year, they'll have their first pay-per-view event. So we'll see how that plays out.
That's cool.
All right. We're covering UFC Fight Night 203 here in Las Vegas. We did have Media Day today where we spoke to the main card participants. It was a small media turnout today. Our man Hot T was already on his way over to England. He's heading over there a little early for that Fight Night event so he can go see some friends and family while he's over there. So, you know, me and you kind of handled most of the question asking duties, I guess, and you were certainly filming so that you could put it up on SI.com, which
I know.
I appreciate.
I'm looking forward to going over their site and seeing how well my stuff looks over there.
Tiago Mejeta Santos and Magomed Ankalaev in the main event. You know, a big one here at light heavyweight. You know, I don't think it's a fight where, you know, I think the biggest upside, of course, is for Magomed Ankalaev. I mean, he's the guy that's been tearing through the ranks. You know, the only loss he has is that, you know, last-second Hail Mary from Paul Craig, which is still crazy. I mean, one of the craziest results you'll ever see. And Ankalaev is an absolute monster. I don't think he's going to be able to get a title fight with this, but he's certainly right there in the top. And I think, you know, you win this. I guess if you do it super impressively, you know, maybe you line yourself up for the winner of Glover and Jiří in May. But I have a feeling it's probably going to take one more fight to get there. And I don't want to make it a foregone conclusion because I like Thiago Santos a lot. Obviously, you know, our good friend Alex Davis is his manager, and Thiago's always been fantastic to us, and he's an exciting fighter. But I just got to be honest with you, man. This Magomed Ankalaev, to me, has looked like the real deal. Even in that loss to Paul Craig, you know, you remember it's just like he looked like an absolute monster. I think this dude, future title challenger written all over him, if not future champion. And I think that, you know, a win here and the guy's probably one fight away. And I'll be honest, I favor him pretty heavy to win in this fight. No disrespect to Mejeta.
Yeah, I picked him as well. And you're right. I mean, it's just, I don't know, maybe it's just the case of that, you know, maybe not even the what have you done for me lately. It's just who's carrying the hype into the fight, you know, just as much as we like to give credit to numbers and this and that. I mean, Ankalaev has just got he's got more hype going into this. I think there's just more questions on Thiago, and plus Thiago's had his chances, you know, up there, and I think people just want to see. Doesn't mean he doesn't deserve another shot, you know, eventually he gets it. I mean, if he beats Magomed, I mean, like, he's right back up in there. But I mean, it's just, I think there's just that fatigue that we always talk about when you see things happen over and over. You just want to see the new guys get up, get a chance to get in there and kind of see what they can do. And these new crop of these guys that have been coming up are just fantastic. And recently when I was doing, you know, shooting some footage of Kuniev out there at Extreme Couture, Ankalaev was there working out with him as well. And he's a big dude, man.
He is.
It's weird because, like, you know, seeing him in fight week, you could tell that he's doing some cutting, because when I was seeing him, he wasn't cutting at that point, and he was filled out, and it just makes me think, like, fight night, he's going to fill back out again, and he's a big dude, man. But it's interesting. I mean, like you said, Thiago's always been a good dude, and we always want good things for them, but, you know, at some point, you know, after the homering for fighters that you like and respect, you know, at some point we got to acknowledge that these other cats that are coming up are just monsters, man. And yep. I did the same thing. I pick Ankalaev to win this one. And it has the, you know, as tough as Thiago is, he will need his toughness to get through this unless he catches him. You know, I think when it comes to the striking, I mean, if he can work some good striking and hurt him, it's his best chance. But I mean, if he lets Ankalaev get his hands on him and gets his big paws on him, I mean, it's gonna be a bad night. And I just, unfortunately, that's the way I see it going. And as the current leader of the MMA Junkie staff pick, since somebody exited,
I was gonna say, sir, we need a little asterisk on that. We need a little asterisk. You know what? I'm like Colby Covington now. I'm the defending champ that never lost my belt. You know what I'm saying? Like y'all are all going to call yourself champions, but I was the 2021 champion. I left 22 out on top. So as far as I'm concerned, I'm the reigning champion of staff picks for MMA Junkie forever. You got to beat the champ to be the champ, bro, and you can't beat me.
That's it. No, I'm back on top. I'm back on top, baby. But, you know, with these Bellator fights, these double fight weeks, man, these are the weeks that it's always tough. It's tough to stay on top because there's just too many fights and some of these cats coming through and some of the, you know, the fights, these Bellator fights, man, are going to be good fights. And I mean, even just that top one with Borch and Burnell. I mean, I thought, I don't know what I thought. I didn't know if the team would lean a particular direction. And I think we're kind of split down the middle on that particular one. I did not pick Adam. I thought I was going to, but I ended up, when it got down to it, I didn't pick him. But Borch is a beast, man. Both of these dudes are – that fight right there is probably – I mean, no offense to the UFC main event. I'm more in terms of the main events and, like, fights of what I think we're going to see some crazy madness. That fight is going to win the weekend as for, like, the best main event of the weekend.
Listen, man, you took it right from me. I was going to ask you because I'll be honest with you. So I interviewed Adam and Mads earlier this week on Monday and talked to them about it. And I think I talked to Adam first, and I don't think I said the same thing to Mads, but in my head I was talking to him, you know, like, because I think this could be the big – I think it's probably the best fight of the weekend, if we're being honest, at Bellator. Yep. It's Adam Borch and Mads Burnell, incredibly meaningful fight over there. Two guys that honestly – would be successful in any organization. I still don't understand why the UFC didn't stick with Mads Burnell. I don't know if there was some contractual issues at the time behind the scenes or what it was. You know, he had a couple setbacks, but against some very top competition. I thought he showed some skills. I'm surprised they went away from him. Meanwhile, Borch, absolute beast. I think this might be the best fight, man. So I'll just echo what you're saying, man. I think that's phenomenal. And I guess the way it's going to work out is, and I will say this, I said it's a lot of MMA. The good news is the UFC main card starts at 7 p.m. Eastern, and you do have six fights on there, which we've had five the last couple weeks. But the Showtime main card for Bellator starts at 9 p.m. Eastern, so I don't think you'll be able to catch all of it. Which, by the way, that whole main card is good as well, too, man. Gadzi versus J.J. Wilson on there. I've been a big J.J. Wilson guy. I know he had to change weight classes, had some issues there, but I like his skill level. Johnny Eblen looks like the real deal against John Salter,
around,
of course. Phil Davis is back in there. I mean, dude, that whole main card right there on Showtime is great. I think it'll overlap a little bit, but I think we should be clear in the UFC to catch that main event. Maybe, I hate to say it, maybe we're watching that main event while we're interviewing the winners of of UFC Fight Night 203. But it's no disrespect. It's just our job as a reporter. You know what I mean? We gotta have the fights on. We gotta be paying attention.
Who are you gonna? You brought up Phil Davis, and I was torn when I was looking at that fight. You know, if vintage Phil shows up, I believe Phil's just gonna kind of do what he does and sort of just grind him out and dominate him by that. But Phil's not this. I mean, Phil's not, I don't want to say he's getting long in the tooth, because if that's what long in the tooth looks like, I want to be like that forever. But man, I was iffy on that one. So if you had to pick on that one, I know your staff picks Asterisk Boy, don't matter anymore, but who would you have taken in that particular fight?
Well, before I give you this pick, Cole Coffey, let me explain.
My picks are already turned in, so this won't sway my pick.
Before I give you my pick, let me explain to you that I am also in first place in picks at the Underground as well.
Are you?
One. I'm in first place. I'm in last place. I'm in the middle of the pack.
So it's just you. It's just me.
It's just me.
I was like, wait, who are you picking against?
I got a one man staff, bro. It's just me.
You're just gonna give yourself trophies every year.
Yeah, year after year. I'm like, dude, I've won 10 years in a row. Who'd you beat? Nobody. But there was nobody. Uncontested, baby.
Should totally do that. Just put a little trophy next to your name.
Oh man, that's great. So no, listen, I agree with your assessment. I would, if I was making a staff pick, I would go with Phil Davis. But yeah. I do think you're right. I do think he is. You know, he's on the back nine, so to speak. You know, yeah. He's kind of winding it down, and it is going to come out where he's just not able to perform the same way. But as it stands now, I'd pick him. But it's a good fight. I like that whole card. Listen,
it is a good card.
It's a lot. It's a good MMA.
It's a really good
card. The Bellator's card. Listen, the UFC Fight Night 203 card's a little bit sneaky as well. You know, we were seeing those names come through today. I mean, listen, look at this main card. Marlon Moraes versus Song Yadong should be an absolute banger in that one.
Who's Marlon fighting?
If I was gonna put money, I'd put money on Yadong. You know what I mean? Yadong looks good to me, if I'm being honest. From my perspective, where I'm sitting,
he came up and he showed up strong. His Yadong was strong in his words today. I thought he
cold
was,
coffee. There's no other way for me to say it. I'm impressed with Yadong. I just have to be honest with you. You know, I mean, no.
We need to see more Yadong during fight week. Easily.
I feel so bad for that man. Does he know? Somebody has told him, right? I mean, I know this is highly just, you know, immature, but
nah.
Has anybody said anything to him?
Probably not. I mean, how do you explain that? In slang, your name means your dick.
Yeah, it is wrong. Oh, man, I feel terrible.
Nah, he's such a good dude.
I was going to drop some more, but I won't. I would pick Yadong in there. That's going to be a good fight.
That's a good fight.
Alex Caceres versus Sadiq Youssef. That's a phenomenal fight as well. Bruce Leroy. I love talking to Bruce Leroy. It's crazy to think that he's like the elder statesman of the game now, but he's one of those guys that's been around. And listen, you know, some of it's a little bit, you know, out there for me in terms of energies and auras and things of that nature, but I don't know. I get genuinely
entertained. Just gotta open up your mind's eye, bro. Open up your mind's eye, man. Just stop thinking about all the other stuff and just be, man.
That's it. You guys are on a vibe together, man.
I love that dude. I love what he was talking about his shit. It just literally, it took me back to like when I was like 21, smoking weed and taking like every hallucinogenic that you could just to open my mind. And I was just like, so every time I hear him talk, I'm just like, bro, I could just fucking... You could just talk about that shit, and I would just drop some acid, and we could just fucking talk about that shit for hours. But I love everything about him, man. He's just such a cool dude, man. And it was so interesting that he was like, oh, I'm just getting comfortable now with, like, really the grappling and other stuff. And I was like, bro, that's what you were, like, when you came on. It was like, I thought you were, like, this sort of awkward strikes from these angles and stuff, because it was just like, oh, this dude's trying to be all, like, kung fu or whatever. But he made so much sense, you know, about how as he got more comfortable with his grappling and enabled his striking to even improve and all this other shit. But all that whole time, you know, he's explaining it by how he's finding himself and, you know, and just getting all this blah, 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 you know, stuff. I love it, man. I love it when he was shooting the brain. I could listen to him talk for an hour and feel like he could probably talk in circles without actually ever really saying anything. And it would still sound interesting. But he's a cool cat, man. He's one of those unique characters that, you know, if you'd tweak him just a little bit more and push him a little bit further over the edge, he'd be like borderline getting near Sanchez. But he stays short. He stays short of the crazy, crazy talk. And he's just like, you know, he's just an out there dude. I mean, he just he allows his brain to think about other things outside of just like the typical day to day, like the day to day struggles. And that's why I think I like him, you know, because I like to read, you know, shit about different Zen Buddhism, different other books and stuff. And you could tell that this cat has immersed himself in it, but he's Absolutely. Also able to go out there and flip a switch and go into complete killer mode, you know, and it's really, really unique to hear him chat. So, yeah, I mean, I'll be sad when the days of Alex are gone. I'll be sad because he's such a unique character him being not there will definitely be a void, just because then, you know, then we're getting characters like, you know, like a Colby Covington. I'd rather take an Alex character over a Colby character any day, you know.
Yeah, I, you know, not to be disrespectful, but I completely agree with that. You know, it's funny, too, because I never would have pegged when he came in that was the guy that's bet we're talking to this guy for the next 10 years and are really going to enjoy the chats that we have and just pick his brain. And now you're really talking about fights, just pick his brain about like philosophy and just, you know,
gardening and
stuff.
And he's only 33 and we've been seeing him forever.
God, that's amazing. How about today? And maybe this was commonplace knowledge, I didn't know this, where he talked about the fact that he wasn't even going to go try out for the Ultimate Fighter, but his brother took him to the tryouts and just said, go do this. And he was like, all right, whatever, man. I mean, can you imagine that? Maybe
back
how
in
different his life would be.
2010.
Amazing is that, man. That's so crazy. So, listen, that's a banger. Carl Roberson versus Khalil Roundtree, going to be a banger. There's no way that's not.
Yeah.
Drew Dober versus Terrence McKinney. Terrence McKinney, one of the most exciting guys out there. Drew Dober just had one of the best fights of the year last year. I mean, that was incredible. That's going to be amazing. Alex Pereira versus Bruno Silva. That could be amazing as well. Blindado versus the Adesanya killer.
Yeah.
Dude, that main card, you know, I get it. It's, you know, a random Saturday afternoon on Fight Pass, but man, I think this main card is going to be incredibly entertaining. And if we roll over from that and then let's say we finish, you know, in time to get at least the main event from Bellator, that's going to be a hell of a run on Saturday.
Yeah, we're going to have to turn that on. That fight's got to – we got to watch that fight. So whatever that means. Yeah, it might be like, hold that first question. We're going to just watch this real quick. We're just going to watch this real quick.
Can you imagine the USC PR team? They're like, whoa, you're holding our fighters so that you can watch a Bellator fight? Is that what I'm getting here?
Yes,
like,
yes, indeed. That's it.
Sorry. Sorry, just being honest, just keeping it real. Yeah, that's a good one. So I'm excited for this Saturday. It's going to be a long Saturday, especially me rolling solo again. I mean, I just can't do the depth that I did before of coverage, you know, the whole team. But I can do a little bit more analysis and stuff this time. You know, if you check out over at the Underground Mixed Martial Arts.com, this past weekend I was actually able to do really two pretty deep post fight analysis pieces. One, I did a column on Colby Covington, which, you know, basically just said, the headline was Colby Covington makes it awfully easy not to like him, but it's impossible to deny his talent. It was kind of weird for me, to be honest with you, to write the column because I don't like being a part of the story, but whatever, I am. There's no way to get around it. The guy is good, man. The guy is damn good, and you don't have to like him, but he's damn good. And then I wrote another column that was called Final Thoughts, Lasting Impressions from USC 272. So if you want to see my post-USC 272 analysis and thoughts, you can check it out over at the Underground, mixedmartialarts.com, and then I'll probably do that as well. So, you know, I think as we move forward, I don't know that we're going to be at the Underground, a place where we've got every recap and every story and we just can't, especially when it's just me. But, you know, at least I can give you a little bit more depth from my own personal feelings and my own personal analysis after a whole lot of watching MMA over the years. So I'm excited about Saturday. Friday, listen, man, I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, obviously we'll have weigh-ins in the morning, so I won't be able to catch One Championship or Brave live because we'll be handling that. I'll be doing a little split screen with PFL Challenger Series and Eagle FC, man. I'm excited for this matchup with Kevin Lee and Diego Sanchez to kind of see what Diego has left in the tank at this point, right? To see what he's, you know, we're going to see Kevin Lee at 165 pounds. You know, how long was he banging the drum about that would be a perfect division for him? He's going to get to do it at 165 pounds. And at the same time, we get to evaluate, you know, kind of what does Diego Sanchez have left. And I hope it's something, because I'll be honest with you, I'm a Diego Sanchez fan. You know, we've had a chance to talk since his departure from his former guru, who was not fans of ours and who did not like us very much, and who, to be honest, we didn't care for much either. And you know, he said, "Hey, dude, it's all good. It's all love between us now, man." And you know, that dude Diego is an absolute legend, man. And I'm hoping he has a little something there. By the way, Ricky Bandejas versus Ray Borg could be a great fight as well. So yeah, Input Kasangana is on this card. Yeah, we're spoiled, man. It's gonna be a busy weekend. Friday, are you gonna try to catch Eagle SC, or is it maybe a little bit of rest after a busy morning?
Is it a pay per view?
No, it's free. You got it. So if you don't know, you got to download an app. It's called the FlexCast.
The Flex app. Okay, I think I have that.
FLX.
App. Yeah, no, I mean, I'm definitely down to watch. I mean, if I'm gonna be sitting here, you know, I don't mind watching it. Because honestly, I mean, at that point during the day, you know, what else is there really to watch? You know, I'm down for it. I'm down for it because there are some interesting fights, and you know, the more that I've kind of started watching them, it's interesting seeing different fighters that I have absolutely no idea in the world who they are for a lot of other ones. So it's interesting getting to see some new names. But yeah, I mean, as for that fight does mean something because we've seen both those cats. Forever, you know, so it'd be interesting to see, because part of me is like, I want Diego to not just get demolished, because then I feel really bad that people used him. But then on the same sense, if he's able to do some good shit, you know, then I'd be like, all right, man, good on you, Diego. Because I mean, I like the dude. I just feel like, man, that end chapter at the UFC was so fucking weird. I feel like, I forget what I don't even can't fucking remember what his name is. I feel like he ruined the last part of Diego's time there. So I would be happy to see him go, not that he's going out, but whatever, but go out on a good note, fighting well and fighting without the crazy distractions and shit that dude brought on to him. But if he goes out there and looks terrible, then I'm the one would be done because I love Diego. I Diego's given us so much over the years. You just want good things for him, and I just want him to go out. And not that I want him to have good things at Kevin's expense, because Kevin's a nice guy too. But those are two guys that we've come to appreciate and, you know, adore for how they fight and what they do. And I just, man, that last bit with Diego was just so weird, man. That you know, seeing his name initially, the first was sort of a gut reaction where I was like, oh man, please no, please, please, please. But then I thought about it and I was like, dude, he doesn't want that to be the end of what people remember by, you know, for him, because that was just a huge black eye on a career of just tons of effort and just great memories, great fights that we'll never forget. Some of those fights that he gave us, and you know, and I would just like him to, you know, sort of, I don't know, I guess cleanse the palate a little bit. And maybe this is going to do that for him and for all of us to see something else. We see this phase. And if he goes out and puts on vintage, you know, Diego, he's always amazed me. I mean, how long he's been able to kind of do this, you never know. So, I mean, it's worth watching just out of respect for him. So, I hope I remember. That's no slight, because you know, I get, when it's Friday and all that other shit, I hope I remember to put it on. I need to make a little calendar reminder, because I do want to watch that, because I feel like we all owe that to him to be there to watch him. If he's willing to get out there again and put it on the line for our entertainment, you know, I feel like we should, you know, give him the honor by actually watching it, especially if we don't have to pay for it.
Especially not to pay for it. Dude, you said it great, though, man. Like, to kind of cleanse the palate. That's a great way to put it, to put that last chapter behind. I guess that's what we're going to find out, right? Because he says he wants, you know, a couple more fights. He knows. He says, look, I don't have a bunch more, but I want to get a couple more in me before I, you know, call it quits. And I guess this one is going to be where we figure out, you know, is that wise, or, you know, is it done? You know what I mean?
And, so, and he certainly took a tough one for that. Kevin Lee, of all people, to take as your fight that you want to, like, fuck, Diego, you could ask for a little easier one. But, I mean, I guess he probably wouldn't have gotten the numbers that he maybe wanted to do, you know? But Diego's probably, you know, he's so hard-headed, probably like, I don't want a gimme. He's like, I want to keep fighting the best guys out there. But, man, man, oh, man.
I just checked out the odds. I had not looked at the odds.
Oh, God.
I just checked out the odds. Do you want to? Do you care to guess? I mean, I'm sure you can imagine who the favorite is.
Minus 1,000.
-810. -810.
So not as bad as I thought, but yeah, that's up
not
there.
As bad, but yeah, but up there. I mean, that's
same
one of the
ballpark.
Higher lines you'll ever see.
Yeah,
that's insane, man. That's absolutely wow. Hopefully, the league's making a scrap, making it entertaining. Who knows what could happen? Who knows what could happen? Yeah. But at least you know, coming there and making it entertaining, making a scrap. So yeah, busy weekend. And on top of that, my wife's out of town, so I'm caring for my son. So I've left him over there alone for a while. So I should probably go take care of him. I think
if you're not hearing anything, that's when you start getting worried when you haven't heard anything in a while.
That's exactly what's going on right
it's
now.
Too
I was
quiet.
Hearing things earlier, and now I'm like, why is it so quiet over there? So hopefully nothing has happened to my lovely, wonderful son over the last hour while we've been sitting here talking. But I gotta go jump on dad duties, and then yeah, I guess I'll see you on Friday as part of this
Friday bright and early
faction.
Yeah, competitor.
Actually, shoot it. I'll put it on Sports Illustrated.
I was just trying to go and see it. I don't see where my videos are, so I'll just have to take your word on it. But
well, maybe we've wised up and they've got rid of your crap that you guys produce over there.
I'm just gonna add that to my byline. I need to update my byline, my website. You know? that reminds me. I was just flipping through the underground and I didn't realize. Is he a contributor? Spencer's over there.
He's not with us, but it's part of a content sharing.
Spencer's a good dude. I just saw him. He wrote something on Tiago. I was like, holy shit, Spencer's over there.
Yeah. Spencer's so we have been legit. Able to feature E. Spencer Kite, who is a fantastic writer. We've been able to feature some of his work as part of a content sharing partnership.
That's good shit.
Has been created on the scene. So we will be featuring some of his work and maybe shining a light on some of the work that he's doing. So, yeah, I'm glad you saw that. Thank you for checking out the new site, man. I appreciate that.
Well, granted, I was trying to find my videos, but I happened to stumble upon that other. But that's cool. Oh. That's a solid, regardless of you know how you use it or not, that's a solid pickup. He's a good writer. That's solid, man. That's solid.
You got to go over to si.com/MMA. I'm not going to allow your crap videos on my website. It's over at si.com/MMA.
I don't really see it, but I'll just have to keep peeking.
No. Maybe it just loads randomly. I don't know.
Yeah.
You probably got to click into a story.
Okay.
There you go. You got to click into a story. And then, yep, there it is. There's your dong. Your dong popped up right there.
Oh, look at that. It did. Look at that, man. It's crazy.
Checking out your dong?
I am. I just love that your dong popped up first.
Oh, terrible. Oh, I feel bad.
I'm going to reload it so the your dong keeps coming and coming.
Oh! We're pathetic. We're never going to grow up. We're never, ever going to grow up. Yeah. All right, listen, hey, if you like what you're hearing, make sure you rate us, review us. Please do all that. That helps us out a lot. And, you know, now that we're rival factions, we, you know, all the support we can grow to help grow this podcast will help us out a lot. And, of course, if you want to take your sport to the next level, head on over to patreon.com/TheMMARoadshow, where you'll get some exclusive content, including some exclusive content we loaded up earlier this week. Starting to do some extra taping with the boys from the Triple G show. So we're doing a little collaborations over there. So some additional content for you there, some additional conversations with that crew. We'll continue to ramp things up over at patreon.com/TheMMARoadshow. So if you can support us over there for as little as $3 a month.
Three bones.
I know myself and Cold Coffee would appreciate it. Especially in his very expensive house.
I'm broke.
We'd appreciate all the support you can get. And in the meantime, load up for the weekend, man. It's going to be a busy one. And thanks for listening.